Romans 6:11 is our text for today. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves. And that word reckon means to take inventory. It is the same word that is repeated over and over again in Romans chapter 4, where God says the righteousness of Christ is credited to my account by virtue of faith in Jesus Christ. When I surrender myself to Him in faith, Christ's righteousness becomes mine. It is credited to my account. That's the word logizomai, that is the same word that is used in 6:11. And so it is the imperative of Romans chapter 6. A key verse in all of this. Today is a continuation of where we left off last week. Testimony to my poor planning. Did not want to leave the message off where I did last week, but you know, we're in Western society and the clock is king. So we had to drop it where it was. I did not like that. I felt like I wanted to bring the message to conclusion, so today is the conclusion to last week's message. How you like that? Hopefully we will be able to keep it in context. So having said that, you will notice there were not any notes in your grace find this morning. The notes are available if you do not have them from last week, or you're here this week, were not last week. There are notes available on the music stands by both of the back doors, and we will be looking at the latter part of those notes. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves, logizomai, take inventory, reckon yourselves to be two things, dead to sin and alive to God. What he is speaking of here is the positional truth of the believer. This is what is true about me as a believer. It is very, very important why we understand this truth. Because the world's system has its own version of religion. There are two kinds of religion in the world. There is the religion of works and there is the religion of grace. Grace is the fact that God has invested himself in us so that we could be reconciled to him. We are saved by grace. We live by grace. It's very important for us to understand that, because I feel by my own experience and by my observation that there are far too many people who are saved by grace and then have to live by their own effort. In other words, they feel that, okay, I have been saved by grace. I have made the decision to become a Christian. Now it's up to me to live the rest of my life trying to be the best kind of Christian I can be. There's no grace in that. What Romans teaches us and what Romans 6:11 is all about is understanding that to be Christian is to live by grace. Very important for us to understand this. So I want us to have a little bit of review here, what we've studied all the way from back in Romans chapter 3, and the passage of key doctrinal words. It's, I must understand what is true about me if I am going to live by grace. In other words, I am not just forgiven. Yes, I am forgiven, but I am not just forgiven. I'm not just the same old Rich Powell who is now forgiven, and that's it. Thank God I am forgiven. And I hope you can say the same. But I'm more than just forgiven. And this is why these key doctrinal words are so important for us to understand. It's why we are called to take inventory. When Paul commands the Romans and says, reckon yourselves, take that inventory, understand what is true about you, what is true about you inside, that you are dead to sin. What does dead to sin mean? That you are alive to God. What does alive to God mean? These are the things that we need to unpack. These are the things that we need to understand. And so a little bit of review here. We start with what Christ has done, and this is history. And key doctrinal words. You might hear, if you're new here this morning, you might hear some words you've never heard before. That's okay. Go back and review them, and these messages are all available on CD and hopefully on the web before too long. And we begin in Romans chapter 3, where the Lord says, Paul teaches us in Romans 3 that Christ is a propitiation for our sin. That word propitiation, what does that mean? It means that God dealt with sin in Jesus Christ. Let me put it in very common terms. Jesus took the blow for your sin and mine. Romans 5 says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He took the blow of God's wrath for my sin so that I don't have to. That's propitiation. That propitiation is the act. The theological implication is the doctrinal word redemption. Redemption means that I have been rescued from that sin and I have been set free. The price has been paid for me to be set free to God, to my Creator, to be reconciled to Him. That is history. That is what Christ accomplished on the cross. In the very middle of that comes the responsibility that you and I have, and that is faith. With that truth presented that Christ took the blow for your sin, and He has paid the price to set you free, to rescue you from your sin and God's judgment, and to set you free to God, what do you do with that? That requires faith. That personal surrender to the truth that Christ has died for me. And He has died to reconcile me to God. When that happens, when faith is a reality in my life, when I surrender myself in faith to Christ and to the history of the work that He has done for me, at that point is the doctrine of logizomai, imputation, where Christ's righteousness becomes mine. I possess His righteousness, and God sees that in me. I am a righteous one before God. That's the doctrine of imputation. Christ's righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's not anything I have done. It is Christ's righteousness. Because of that, that is God's work, that Christ's righteousness is imputed to me. That is His work. The theological implication is the doctrinal word justification. And that is that I am declared righteous before God. I am now in a condition and a position that is acceptable before God. This is what's true about me. All of this is encompassed in the beautiful doctrine of grace. That is biblical grace, that God has invested Himself in me in this way. And if these things are true, then I am righteous before God, which is what Paul says, now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed. So all of everything that I just said has nothing to do with me earning salvation. It is all about God investing Himself in me and my response of faith to that. If that is true, these things are true about me. And what we have is the promise in the Old Testament that God says, these things will be true about you. This is what I will do for my people. I will give them a new heart. So if what I have just described is true about you, that means that God has given you a new heart. A new heart can be, heart is synonymous for one's nature. He's given you a new heart. The good thing about that is He's also said, I will put my law on their hearts. And that's a new master. Not only do I have a new nature, but I have a new master. I'm following a new master. That's true about me. In other words, my bent, because God's law is on my heart, my bent now as one who is in Christ is for God. That's my bent at the core of my being. Not only do I have a new heart, not only do I have a new heart, new nature, not only do I have God's law on my heart, a new bent in life, a new master, but I also have a new power. And that new power is in the person of the Holy Spirit, who has now indwelt me, is now indwelling me, and He is God's power working together with my new spirit to please God and to live for Him, which is why Paul says, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, that He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Because now living for God, delighting in God and serving Him with delight, is not only my natural bent, but it's my design. It's my delight to do these things. And I move in that direction. That is who I am at the core of my being. So all of that is in the biblical doctrine of newness. It is the doctrine of regeneration, that I am new in Christ. Isn't that wonderful news to know that this is true about me? Some of you are struggling with that right now, aren't you? I've struggled with this. Because the first thing we think of is, why don't I feel new? Very, very important that Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, he doesn't say, now try your best to feel like you're dead to sin and alive to God. My reckoning myself dead to sin and alive to God doesn't make it so. Christ did it. In other words, what he is referring to here is history. This has happened. My question for you is, have you surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ? If you have surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, then what I have just described is true about you. And you need to take that into account. You need to take that inventory. Understand that this is true about me. I am convinced, sadly, that there are far too many Christians today who do not understand this. Because they don't understand that not only am I saved by grace, but I live by the grace of God too. And they live, because they don't understand that, they live like I described earlier. Okay, I've made the decision to be a Christian. Now, the rest of my life, I just have to try as hard as I can to do what a Christian is supposed to do. If that's where you are, please, please listen today, because that's not what Christianity is about. That's not what grace is about. That's not what Romans 6, 7, and 8 are about. That's not what the gospel of grace is about. God wants you to know, and the Apostle Paul is writing these things so that you know what is true about you. This is true about me because I am in Christ. Now, what is one of the top complaints of unbelieving people about the church or about Christians? Hypocrites. Because when they see a believer who claims the gospel of Christ and the newness that is there, and yet they see them as if there's no difference in their lives at all, they're saying, well, you know, they have the claim to faith, but there's no difference in their life. It's not work, therefore it must not be true. It doesn't work, therefore it must not be true. That's sad that they would think that. We need to understand that we are not practically perfect people. Positionally, we are in Christ, but we are not practically perfect because of the context that we live in. We live in the context of the flesh and of the world and of the adversary. And there still is that ability to sin. There is still that ability to do things that are contrary to the character and purpose of God. And we continually struggle with that. There's not a person in this room who doesn't struggle with that. What's your struggle? Think for a moment now, right now. What's your struggle? I pointed out one last week very strongly. And it was not my intent to make last week a polemic on pornography. That's not the point. But the issue is, every one of you in this room, every one of us in this room, not leaving myself out, has particular struggles. And there are particular things that you struggle with on a regular basis. It could be that pornography. And the only reason I mention that is because you need to understand that you have, in Christ, the ability to rule over that and to find escape from that. Your bondage to that is a willful choice. But in Christ, you can escape that and find great liberty. And so it is with any other attitude or behavior that I struggle with that goes contrary to the character and purpose of God. What is it? Is it a temper? Is it the desire to be recognized? Is it the desire to be affirmed? Is it a controlling, overriding desire that people acknowledge me for who I am and what I've done? That could be. Just as much sin as pornography. You with me? You see, because these are things that go contrary to the character and purpose of God. Whatever your struggle is, you fit it into that slot, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's not about talking about how bad that is. It's talking about the Christian's relationship to sin, that you recognize that you reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus your Lord. Now, the Bible teaches us that we have been created according to God. Our new nature is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to demonstrate on here what is true about everything that I just described that we've studied so far in the book of Romans. And it's mentioned elsewhere in the book of Scripture. It's talking about the old man and the new man. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says what about the old man? Tell me, what does it say about the old man? He's been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, rendered inoperative. Okay? I'm going to need all the space on here I can get. Let this person represent you. This is you, and this represents you physically. And you are born with an Adamic nature that has the same problem as the physical being. And it is inherently selfish. What do I mean by selfish? It means the inherently selfish nature means I am the focal point of my life. I am at the center of my life. I live for me. My life is about me. Life, I am the meaning to my existence. That is the problem that we're all born with. Bear with me, okay? Now, that's the old man. In Christ, the old man is sidelined. He's rendered inoperative. Okay? Let's just put him over here on the sidelines. He's a small man. But he can still yell at you. Now, this outline of this being represents the flesh. It represents the body that's sitting in the chair underneath you. Okay? And that body is habituated in sin. And it naturally operates according to impulse. And these things that I talked about, whether it's that pornography that I mentioned, or whether it's when somebody speaks to you the wrong way, something in your mind goes, I don't deserve that, I'm going to get them. Anywhere in between there. All right? Whatever your issue is that you struggle with, issue or issues, plural, okay? The flesh is what you still live in. You still live, you possess the flesh, this body, and it is corruptible. It must put on incorruption. Now, here's what the Bible is teaching us in Romans chapter 6. This is the truth of the one who is in Christ, that you are born of God. This is what Paul is teaching us. You are born of God. All right, this is the new heart and mind. This is God's seed remains in you. This blue represents the newness of God, the righteousness of Christ, the new heart, the new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We must understand that if we are going to be able to live triumphantly in Christ. Otherwise, it's nothing more than sin management and self-governance. And that doesn't require grace. But living in the newness of Christ means that Christ's righteousness not only resides in me, but manifests itself outwardly. So here's what I need to do. I need to reckon, what part of your body do you use to reckon? Your mind. Does the Bible say anything about being like transformed by the renewing of your mind? It's all through the New Testament, okay? And we love God beginning with our heart and mind, okay? So when he says reckon, you understand, you take inventory. This is history. This is what Christ has done for me. And therefore, as you draw near to God, as you walk with God, imperative number one for the believer is to grow in your relationship with God. Let this blue represent the newness of Christ and the seed of righteousness that is in you. And it is planted in a seed form and it needs to grow, just like a newborn baby needs to grow. That baby needs to be nurtured. It needs to be fed. It needs to be encouraged. All of that. And so it is with the new nature. And how do you do that? By your fellowship with God. Folks, listen, if you miss everything, you have to know this. You have to hear this. If you are a believer here today, priority number one, bar none, for you and me, is fellowship with God. You were created for that. And that fellowship with God is what grows the new man. And as the new man grows inside, it continues to push the flesh, this dark outline, it continues to push that to the sidelines and back into the shadows. And the intent is for the new man to grow so that it is manifest in your life. That is the newness that exists in you. Now, I did that all at once. What I just did right there, this last moment, represents weeks, months, years of fellowship with God. It does not represent doing all the things a Christian's supposed to do. It represents years of fellowship with God. That's the only way the new man grows. Why? Because the new man is born of God. And John says something very striking in 1 John chapter 3. He that is born of God does not sin. And he cannot sin because his seed remains in him. Let me be very, very clear on this, all right? That scripture is not teaching us that the Christian has the inability to sin, meaning we would be practically perfect people. That's not what that scripture is teaching. It is teaching that within you resides a newness that has a bent towards God. And this is who you are because you are in Christ. Grow that new man. Grow that newness through fellowship with God. There is no substitute. No substitute for fellowship with God. I've said this before, and I will say it many times more. Doing things for God is not the same thing as walking with God. I have been astounded in the last couple of decades of the number of people who are prominent Christians doing great things for God, and they fall flat on their face morally. I'm like, how? How can somebody be so busy for God and they walk off the deep end in moral failure? That led me to the conclusion of what I just said. Doing things for God is not equal to walking with God. This newness that is in you grows through your fellowship with God, through your continual reckoning yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God, through fellowship with Him, communing with Him. Do you consume the Word of God? Do you invest yourself in prayer with the omnipotent, benevolent Sovereign who loves you? Do you do these things? These are the things that grow the newness. This is newness that exists within you. It represents the new heart, the new nature bent towards God. It represents my law written on their hearts. It represents the Spirit of God within me, who leads me in all truth. All of these things are true about me. Now, understand this in the context of the struggle that we have with attitudes and behaviors that are contrary to the character and purpose of God, those things that we call sin. This guy's yelling at us. He's yelling at us. He wants us to be selfish. He wants us to be mostly about our own preservation and our own gratification. That's what he wants. And the flesh wants to do the same thing. So that you can say a particular word to me, whether it's a political word or a theological word, you can say a particular word and something in my mind goes, "Ugh." What's your word? What's your trigger? What sets you off? Because the brain, the physical brain and the body operates on impulse. And that's exactly what this man wants us to do, is to operate according to the flesh. And that is according to impulse. This is why the word reckon is so important. Instead of reckoning, you don't reckon according to impulse. Reckon is a reasonable thing. It's a reasoning thing. It's something we do with our minds. So as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that's what we do. Now, to the notes, here's what I said last week. And this is why this is so, so, so important. This paragraph that I read last week, many believers, you know, the number one complaint about Christians, well, there's too many hypocrites out there. You know, they don't act any, they don't live any different than I do. It doesn't work, therefore it must not be true. Why should I even bother with Christianity? I'm convinced that at least 50% of that is because we don't understand this. We think Christianity is nothing more than just doing everything a Christian's supposed to do. That's tragic, folks. And that leads to a frustrating faith. Many believers are living out of the dumpster of irrelevant faith. What do I mean by irrelevant? Well, I believe this, but I keep struggling with all this over here. And I don't, you know, I can't get the two to come together. And people are looking at me and they say, oh, he can't handle struggles any different than I can. Why should I even bother? Many believers are living out of the dumpster of irrelevant faith instead of feasting at the banquet of conquerors. The adversary rejoices over the defeated, frustrated Christians who know not the meaning of walking in newness of life and who act powerless to impact their world in terms of the character and purpose of God. So, what does that mean? I need to understand the newness that is in me. Now, back to your notes. This is the reckoning now. Reckoning. And I put in your notes, the latter part of your notes there, Psalm 46:10. You know what Psalm 46:10 says? Be still and know that I am God. You see, He's the reference point. He is the reference point for everything that I have to deal with. Be still and know that I am God. What is that? That's quietness. That's peace of mind. That's not acting according to impulse. The flesh acts according to impulse. When somebody does something wrong to me, my flesh says, seek revenge, tell them off, set them right. But the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God. So here you are. This is going to be what we call self-talk. And it becomes a habit in your mind. There's this man hollering at you over here because he wants the flesh to rule you. And what he does is, as you're browsing the internet, he brings up that picture and your flesh wants to operate according to impulse. Oh, pleasure! That's the flesh, okay? That's when the reckoning happens. That's when the reckoning needs to happen. Instead of operating according to impulse, you're operating according to the newness, the new mind, God's law written on your hearts that God has given you. And when He's screaming at you, and that trigger, whatever that trigger is that happens, and you name it, you think about it, whatever yours is, it might be different or similar for many of us in here. But let me just use that one, let me use a different one, all right? Let me use the one I've been mentioning here earlier, and that is that somebody says something mean to you or disrespectful to you, right? And your flesh wants to do what? Set them straight. Your flesh wants to set them straight. Remember, that's the flesh. Now, what does the Bible say about you in Christ? Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves to be what? Dead to sin. Dead means separated. This is my old man. I was in bondage to him. Now he is sidelined. I am not in his grip. I am not connected to him. He does not have control of me. Here's the first thing you need to understand. When he screams at you and that impulse, that trigger impulse comes at you, your reckoning, your self-talk needs to say this: that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Isn't that radically different than the Christian living the defeated perspective of saying that's just the way I am? Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Sin is any attitude or behavior that is contrary to the character and purpose of God. When that impulse strikes, we need to develop the habit of this self-talk. And as we meditate on the truth of Scripture all the time, that I am indeed dead to sin and alive to God, then when that trigger impulse happens, my self-talk says, that's not who I am. I am this new man who is alive to God with a new nature, a heart bent towards God, God's law written on my heart, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's who I am. When I say that's not who I am, I mean this impulse of wanting to retaliate against the person who has shown disrespect for me. My impulse, I understand in my self-talk, the reckoning. All of this is describing the one word reckoning. Means I am thinking at that moment, it goes against God's character and purpose. In other words, the trigger happens. Colin says something very mean to me. My flesh snaps and says, I'm going to set him straight. When I reckon, what I am saying is, okay, that's not who I am. Because that response goes against the character and purpose of God. There is a big difference here between saying that and saying, well, I'm a Christian, I'm just not supposed to do that. Do you see the difference? Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Because you recognize that, and this is the last line there under that paragraph, that sin, whatever that impulse of action would be, it is a setback to my true success. A setback to my true success. What does success mean? Success means operating according to design. I was designed for the very purpose of walking with God, fellowshipping with God. If I act according to that impulse to set Colin straight, that will be a setback to my success. Do I want to do that? Why would I want to do that? It's insanity. The flesh says, do it. Yes. But the flesh acts impulsively. The mind of Christ says, no. That is contrary to the character and purpose of God. That is a setback to my success, to this newness that Christ has established in me. Now you're saying, right now you're thinking, okay, Rich, when am I going to have the time to think through all this? Have you ever heard of the biblical practice of meditation? Be still and know that I am God. You see, I say the reckoning happens in that moment when that impulse snaps, that trigger right there. But you see, here's the idea. Remember how I said this new man grows? It grows through fellowship with God. The more and more and more you walk with God in fellowship with Him, the more this new man grows and is manifest in your life. And that way of thinking will become a natural way of thinking. The new natural will replace the flesh. Instead of operating and thinking according to the flesh, you will operate and think according to the new man. The only way that that's possible is through your fellowship with God. There is no substitute. None. And so when that trigger happens and the impulse of the flesh says, set him straight, in your mind, in a nanosecond, you think that's not who I am. That is contrary to the character and purpose of God. And that is a setback to my true success in terms of operating according to design. That's not who I am. And then what do? Well, it's not just leaving it off saying that's not who I am. Because Romans 6:11 says, reckon yourselves to be two things. What? Number one is dead to sin. Number two is alive to God. You see, God didn't just leave you dead to sin. That's good news. He made you alive to Him. That's everything I just described by what's represented in the blue here. The new heart, His law on your heart, and Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God in you, empowering you. So when that trigger happens, you can say, that's not who I am. You can say, I am alive to God. First bullet point, I am His and my ambition is to please Him. You see, the new man has a heart bent towards God. And because His law is written, implanted, it's impressed upon your heart, Your heart is bent towards Him, therefore you want to please Him. This is what Romans 7 is all about, so we'll get to unpack this a good bit more. But also, in reckoning yourself to be alive to God, it's my ambition to please Him. Secondly, I find greater satisfaction in God and His purpose for me. I find greater satisfaction in God and His purpose for me. All of that is according to the new man. This is strikingly different than just seeing something, whether it's an adversity and you want to react by impulse according to that adversity, or if you see something that lures you and wants to draw you in, and your impulses say, go for it. You'll find pleasure in that. That is when I need to reckon myself to be dead to sin and alive to God. That's not who I am. I am alive to God. Folks, I can promise you, I can guarantee you from personal experience, this works. I have struggles. Might come as a surprise to some of you. I have struggles. To some of you, it's no surprise at all. But see, folks, this is transformation. This is strikingly different than just saying, I'm a Christian, and a Christian is not supposed to do that. You see, that's negative. That leaves you wanting. That leaves a vacancy. It leaves a vacuum there. There's no appeal to the newness and the power that is yours in Christ to override the flesh and the things that will be a setback to your success. This is the power of God in me. And so, as I fellowship with God, as I walk with Him, and I grow that newness, I develop within my thinking the capacity to, in an instant, instead of acting according to impulse, I be still and know that God is, that He is God, and that I am His, that I am dead to sin, and that I am alive to God. That's who I am. That's revolutionary. And that will give me the strength and the power to live in a way that glorifies God and in which I will find my ultimate satisfaction. The last line there says, I find greater satisfaction in God and His purpose for me. We can recite some of it. And this is why some of the Psalms are so good and so important for us to memorize. Psalm 36, 7 to 9. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Do you get the sense of the psalmist who is surrounded by adversity, and yet he was peaceful, he was trusting, he was still, knowing that God was God, that God was the reference point to his life, that God was his ambition, not his own survival or his own gratification. The impulses of the flesh will mean you need to act right now to protect your survival or to satisfy your gratification. But the Bible tells us that we are dead to sin and alive to God. Psalm 37:45, delight yourself also in the Lord. Not in a counterfeit, but in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will what? Give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. As I said it before in my prayer earlier, and this is a quoting from an author and a theologian, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. That is the fine print between the lines of Romans 6:11. That we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. Recognize that Romans 6:11 is the first imperative in the whole chapter. verses 1 to 10 is talking all about what is true about me in Christ. Romans 6:11 says, therefore, take into account, take inventory, know what is true. Are you developing this new man? Being Christian is not about trying to do hard what a Christian's supposed to do, or saying no to that because a Christian's not supposed to do that. No. It's reckoning yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God. That you find your newness and your satisfaction in Him. That's where the power comes from.